On this episode of the Broke Black Bougie podcast, we have another candid conversation about family dynamics. This time around, through the lens of a conversation that was held on Twitter regarding soul food and one of the main characters, Terry. Hope you enjoy tapping in. I've been Little Miss catching flights, Little Miss outside, Little Miss, oh, you want to ignore your bank account, Little Miss, ain't you supposed to be moving, Little Miss, welcome to the jungle, we got fun and games. I've been Little Miss all that. Have you seen the little trend going around on social media with Little Miss?
Mm-mm.
You haven't seen
no.
it?
No.
So it's quite hilarious. So, there are these memes that are based on the Little Miss Notes app, okay? And what it is, it's an app that,
I like it.
With different characters that say different things about, you know, who you are. And it's funny because, like, nowadays, people think social media, in order for you to go viral on social media, it's all about, like, reels and showing up and being front facing, and all of that is nice and dandy, but a key part of being looped in into, like, the social media work is also creating content that is relatable, and sometimes the content that is still staying still is good enough. Most people don't really recognize that.
But so, I like the characters though.
Yeah, so people got Little Miss addicted to piercings, Little Miss practically
ooh, that was me at one point,
Little Miss sleeps with makeup on, that's definitely me. Little Miss uses big words incorrectly, and do. Little Miss, I'm over it, and is. Little Miss cries when she mad, and does. Little Miss back pain, and has it. Little Miss trauma dumps on close friend story.
Little Miss hit curbs, and I did at one point when I first started driving.
Okay. Little Miss tummy ache, and do got it. Little Miss hate men, and sometimes. Okay, so they have, like,
I love this.
It's like this little thing, and it's been catching on. So many people have been stealing the little people characters and creating Little Miss this, Little Miss that, Little Miss this. And I was going to hop on it, but I'm like, I don't think niggas is ready for what I'm about to say. So I think I'm going to take a step back.
Okay. Not Little Miss hit curbs, and I did at one point.
And did and does. But it comes from the Little Miss Notes app, and so people have been sharing all of this shit that's been so relatable. And I think it's important for people to remember that, like, and being a digital creator. Oh, Little Miss is actually a little baddie. Go ahead, girl. But all of this shit that we create is quite hilarious because most people don't recognize, like, social media is a different world, you know. Mm-hmm. You just gotta make shit that's relatable. But anywho, I was gonna come on here and title this Little Miss Terry.
Not from Soul Food.
Oh yeah, girl, from Soul Food. Have you seen
no,
the little thread
no.
that's been going around?
No.
Okay. So I would tap into the thread, and then we're gonna just go straight into the politics segment, because the thread is something that I was going to talk about a long time ago. And I was like, I remember reading an article way back when about a woman who said that she related to Terry's experiences on Soul Food. And I was like, yo, this will be a good time
Wait
to talk
minute.
About
like
it.
The whole entire experience? Like,
no, just who Terry represents.
Okay.
Right?
Break you know, this down for me.
The older I get, the more I sympathize with Terry from Soul Food.
Mm.
That's what it says. And I think I'm going to come in with a deep piece.
Okay.
Because I'm in my bag. I'm in my creative bag. You know, it got to get out. But I think we Little Miss Cherry.
My mind went right to how Goody Mob be saying, come and get your soul food.
Yeah.
All right.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. That's what's going on. So this was the thread, and the thread ended up going viral. So a Twitter user by the name of Plu2Smith, Big Fluffy, created a thread that says, I watched Soul Food for the first time in 10 plus years last night. Here are 10 reasons why Terry from Soul Food deserves an apology. A thread.
Okay. I'm already into this.
You're already into it?
Already into it.
All right. Number one, the whole family roasts her the entire movie for being smart and successful, including Big Mama. Everyone puts Maxine on a pedestal when she doesn't do anything but talk down on her sister or start arguments. Pure jealousy. Two, Maxine not only took her man but married him and started a family with him. She has to be reminded of her snake shit every time they link now.
Mm.
Three, the family not only consistently borrows money from Terry, it's expected of her whenever they need bread, like for Bird's wedding, the beauty shop, and Big Mama's medical bill.
Bruh, can
broke
we
ass
just...
niggas. No, we gonna unpack
okay,
it.
Okay,
in politicking segment.
Okay.
I'm just reading through it. Number four, Terry did the right thing in calling her cousin to beat up Lim. Any good sibling would have done the same thing with a person berating their sister and throwing shit like he was attacking her. Look at her. She looks scared as fuck. That's not funny, but yes. Number five, Terry didn't support Miles' dreams, which is bad, but he took some of her money to fund it without asking. What the fuck? Her nigga was raggedy.
Not an Upshaw moment.
Six. The family basically dumped faith on her, a person they all knew was trouble, because they didn't want the burden or risk of getting scammed. Nine. Terry gets Lim out of jail despite the fact it was his fault when... His fault he went back. Nobody made him have that gun. There's no gratitude or thank you after the fact, just scorn. 10. At the end of the movie, they find a lump sum of money that Big Mama stashed away. So basically, Terry's mother was making her pay for everything in the family, despite the fact that she had money of her own to pitch in all along. How dare this old ass lady? And then that's where the thread ends. Oh, no, actually you don't. Oh,
we uncover Mo?
Oh, no, that's where, that, wait, hold on, I forgot one little thing, click. They fucked her husband in her house. 8, Terry was gonna sell Big Mama's house, but not cause she wanted to, but cause she was tapped out on money and nobody else wanted to fill in the cracks, and they blocked it, so she can't, and they stay in debt. So selfish. And those are 10 reasons why Terry from Soul Food deserves an apology. I seriously feel you, Terry. Fuck the family. All right. On that note, we ain't even going to say how we doing today. We just going to hop right in to the politicking segment titled, Little Miss Terry.
Mm.
So, before we unpack the 10 reasons why Terry deserves an apology, I want to say why I'm titling this Little Miss Terry. Because I find it interesting how everybody can connect to Little Miss this, Mix that, whatever, this, that, and the third. And we can call in and call out ourselves, right? But we need to be able to connect this to some real life shit. And I think the truth is a lot of us exist as Little Miss Terry from Soul Food, overextending ourselves. And in a space where we're giving and giving and giving and giving and giving and we feel depleted. Now, we done had conversations about family burdens. We done had conversations about, finances and different family dynamics that are just like out of this world. But I think we really need to tap in seriously. For one little second. And talk about Little Miss Terry and the feelings and the vibes and the different energies that people get when we have a conversation about what it means to show up for family or what it means to exist in a black family and sometimes the expectations that are placed upon us, especially as black women. And so I'm going to run it back to a article that was released in November of 2021 by Brianna Lawrence, November 29th, 2021. And it's titled, "The Older I Get, the More I Sympathize with Terry from Soul Food. Fuck the Family." As per Black Twitter tradition around the holidays, a clip was shared last week from the 1997 film Soul Food. And if you're familiar with the movie, you know exactly what clip I'm referring to. So they ended up saying Happy Thanksgiving and sharing this clip right here that I'm going to play. Just one little quick thing.
Family. Oh, fuck the family. The family, I love the family in my house. You know what? The family fucked my husband. Yeah, Faith fucked my husband. What are you going to say, huh?
Terry,
what?
And period. Okay, we're just gonna let that be what it is. The author then goes to say, "This was truly a moment." In case you need context for Vanessa Williams doing the damn thing, her character Terry is pissed off because, as she says, "I let the family into my house, and you know what? The family fucked my husband." Literally. A family member literally fucked her husband. Terry reveals that her cousin Faith slept with her husband Miles. There was a lot more to it than that, and trust me, I'll get into it, but that's the tweet limit version of events that accumulate in her grabbing a knife. To this day, Terry Bowles' declaration of fuck the family is one that hits me every time I see it. But back when I initially saw the movie, I was still pretty young, 14, so I didn't realize that the statement wasn't just about Miles, what Miles and Faith had done. There's a strong message of family getting through anything in soul food. But as I've gotten older, I learned the importance of having boundaries in place, especially with family. I've also learned that I don't have to force myself into uncomfortable situations because family, nor do I have to excuse bad behavior because family. I've learned that when someone wrongs you, forgiveness has to be earned, not assumed. And by doing this, I realized just how much Terry's family had hurt her and hadn't really done much to make up for it. Terry's depicted as the selfish sister in the group, the one who puts her career first and focuses on money so much that she knows what's in her bank account to the very last penny. But looking at this clip again and thinking of the movie overall, Terry's selfishness feels more like setting boundaries because she's part of a family that, one, expects the world from her without asking how she feels, and two, expects the world from her without asking how she feels, even after doing her dirty numerous times. Mm. That's the part that sticks with me now. It's not just the wrongs done to Terry, but the fact that they aren't really ever addressed. No real apologies are made. No one's really held accountable because family can't get through anything. And she's depicted as a bitter woman who is somehow at fault for all of the pain she's dealing with. Fairly early in the movie, for example, we're told that Terry and Maxine don't get along as sisters because, well, they just don't. However, we find out, after Maxine initiated the argument during dinner, the reason that they don't get along is that Terry caught Maxine in the car with her boyfriend, Kenny, who Maxine would go on to marry. I'm sorry, what? Now, I'm sure these two have had disagreements over the years. That just goes with the sibling contract. But this isn't just a moment of vinegar and oil not mixing, as we're initially told. This is someone being seriously hurt by her boyfriend and her sister. I mean, catching your sister in the car with your boyfriend is a lot. However, it's told in this cute family memory sort of way where we're supposed to think that Terry should let it go. This isn't endearing at all. How is it getting so much tender narration? I know this movie is told from the eyes of a child, but how are none of the adults in this story realizing how messed up this is? Even worse, after Terry catches Miles and Faith together, she actually has a moment where she blames herself, feeling that she pushed her husband towards someone else, the way she thinks she did Kenny all of those years. She wonders what would have done if she got married to Kenny, only to conclude that she'll find a way to screw it up. Terry, sis, this isn't your fault. There's no moment to explore this, though, as everyone comes in and asks Terry for money, which is what everyone always does with Terry. Since it's family, though, the assumption is that Terry's money is their money, after all, and it's not like she's in need of it. She can't afford to pay hospital bills, startup salons, and whatever else the family needs. Whenever she pushes back against this and points out how she's worked hard to get where she is, it's meant to make her look like such a hard ass that it destroyed her marriage, as she wasn't supportive of Miles' music career. Miles, who at one point takes money out of their savings account without talking to her. Miles, who would go on to sleep with her cousin, a cousin who no one wanted to let stay with them, so they dumped her off on Terry. Miles, who I assume knows what happened with her past relationship where her boyfriend slept with her sister, but went ahead and messed with her cousin anyway. That's skeezy all by itself. But knowing Terry's relationship history makes it even worse. As an adult, I've had to set boundaries and have had people assume that they had access to me in ways they didn't bother discussing with me because they were reliant on our relationship to do the talking. As an adult, I've had people hurt me in an indescribable ways, but instead of apologizing and working to do better, they slap that on family, friend, loved one label in hopes of that being enough. There was never evidence of them regretting what they did, and instead an assumption that family absolved them of any form of accountability. Not to mention the assumptions from folks who don't know the details of issues, people feeling the need to put making amends on me, even if I wasn't the one who caused the rift between us. They're the same people do when they tell us to forgive others who have hurt us, often layered in some sort of you don't know how much time you have with them dialogue to make you feel bad for walking away from toxic loved ones. But why does it always have to be up to us, I ask? If it's my fault for standing up for myself, then I guess I'm to blame for my own peace of mind. When I look at Terry now, I can't help but want to apologize for ever entertaining the thought that she was the reason behind her own suffering. But now I know that sometimes it really do be family. As Terry says, when everything's laid out in the open, can we talk about what? Fuck you. And baby, in the words of Bobby Womack, that's just the way it is. And yes, I had to read through the entire article to talk about Little Miss Terry, because although the author didn't explicitly say that she related to everything, she says she understands when boundaries are broken, right? Mm-hmm. And she's able to relate to that experience with Terry and how Terry wasn't the problem after all. It really was the environment that she was in, that she grew up in, and the people around her. And so I ask, let's unpack Little Miss Terry, what Little Miss Terry represents, and some of the things we learned from Terry's experience and how that correlates to the way we see family dynamics today.
Mm-hmm. So the interesting thing when you were reading it, I automatically went back to a scene in the movie where they were all sitting at the table, mm-hmm. all the family. Mm-hmm. And she was like, basically, she was like, I'm an ATM, automatically Terry's money. Mm-hmm. And it was at that moment, you look at Terry, like, Terry's whole demeanor throughout the movie is stern. Mm-hmm. And I think, too, a lot of that is resentment to the family, mm-hmm. because of the fact that everybody is dependent on her. I don't care what situation it may be. We automatically know that, you know, you always gonna say it's your money, because it is. And yet, I worked hard for this. I've done everything that I was supposed to do while I was in school. Now I am making the money that I'm making. And yet, y'all are all coming at me. Mm-hmm. I'm only one person. Ain't nobody saying I will pay you back. I know you can't pay me back. Mm-hmm. So basically, I'm seeing this money go out the door and never being returned to me. Other than me working my job and getting this money back. You know mm-hmm. what I'm saying? And replenishing what has already been drained from mm-hmm. me. So looking at Terry, you know, 97, damn, I was young as shit when I first saw the movie. And yet not understanding the full extent of it until, of course, when you get older, you watch it again. You're like, damn, it's really fucked up how her family really did come at her mm-hmm. from all angles. Mm-hmm. And they act as if, you know, them acting, you know, we're supposed to be family. You acting as if I'm being a disservice to you. Because, nigga, you are. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Y'all constantly coming at me. I'm paying for Bird's wedding. Y'all see, and then they always want to say, "Well, why you always gonna say that you paid for it?" Cause nigga, I did.
and it goes over your head all the time.
Nobody's coming to you with medical expenses. It's always me. And then when, like you said, in the midst of the movie about her talking about putting up Big Mama's house, it wasn't that she wanted to. It was to alleviate the pressure that was coming at her from trying to take care of everything that, at this moment, I'm already tapped out. Even if she wasn't tapped out, at this moment, I got to put my foot down. Mm-hmm. Something has to give. Mm-hmm. It just can't be me pumping out my money. And yeah, I have a whole marriage. I have a whole family that I got to look after.
Barely.
Right. At that moment. Yeah, barely. But just saying, like, yo, like, y'all are really inconveniencing me. And yet, even though I'm at a place in my life where I'm able to afford what I'm able to afford, like, y'all just don't get it. Y'all don't get it. You know what I'm saying? So, looking at her character now, after all these years, of course, you know, compared to my child lens, to my adult lens, I feel for Terry. Like, get the fuck out of here. Y'all always ask me for money. And yet, when I'm always saying that it's my money, I got an attitude problem with it. But if I don't give it to you, then what?
Mm-hmm.
You know what I'm saying? So, do you remember watching it as a kid when you were younger?
When I first watched Soul Food, I didn't really understand a lot of the themes. I just thought it was a loving movie, and the whole premise was nobody's cutting off my leg, and that's it. That's what I thought. You know, go ahead, let it out, because your throat is moving, but the sound ain't coming out. That's what I remember.
Yo,
you know,
not the tragic scene where Big Mama didn't want to put on her coat, and she didn't want to have no more conversation.
She didn't want to have no more conversation, and that's sad. And how they made it seem like it was the soul food that was the problem,
bruh.
You know, because she Mama had that sugar.
And I love it. I love everybody has different interpretations of it, and I love it.
But that was then,
right?
You know. Being older, watching the movie, I'm like, yo, the movie, what about you? What about me? You know, it's a good, groovy film, but it has a lot of sad elements.
Mm-hmm.
And the more that I think about it, they were a toxic, dysfunctional-ass black family.
Yeah.
From the dynamic with the, you got an elder coming over and milk because he know that y'all cook good-ass food. He ain't contributing shit. He just here because he the a friend of the family.
He's a pastor.
Them motherfuckers is toxic. Okay? I'm sorry. But I gotta be honest. Why is it that the pastor, just because they're getting the word of God, they get the food too that the Lord put on the planet for free?
But not only that too, he was a fresh old ass.
He was
pastor.
A perv. Making people feel uncomfortable. Get the fuck out of my house. Using the word of God, trying to also get the word of draws. This shit is ridiculous. Like, out of pocket. And I'm tired of seeing that. And I haven't seen that shit too much in the black. No, hold on. Hold on. Pastor come around on Sunday and get extra butter on a bread. Get the last piece of cornbread that's sitting at the table because they the pastor. We all children of God.
Mm-hmm.
And we all give a word or two. And I got a word or two for you. Okay? Don't touch my goddamn food. I don't play that. I done seen that way too often.
Yes, we have.
Okay? And that is very annoying. But that dynamic wasn't okay. The fact that there was an uncle who it seemed that he was going through mental health issues because he just stayed in a world in his own little world in his room with the cane. I know somebody to this day who just stay in a room and just isolate.
Mm-hmm.
You know? And that's not okay. And they're a parent. And that is not okay.
Right.
You know, those dynamics are unhealthy. Then there's the sister dynamics. And that shit is really out of pocket.
Yeah.
And so, the more that I think about it, I'm like, oh, it's a cool-ass cult film. It's a real cool-ass family movie. That shit is sad, bro.
And you know, just the toxicity, I can't even say it. Toxicity.
Girl, I can't even say my damn self. I
had to slow it down. Toxicity of the relationship between Terry and Maxine. Is that Vivica's name in the movie? I forgot.
Yeah, I believe it is.
But
yeah.
I had to constantly look at the relationship that you and my ex-boyfriend have built.
Mm-hmm.
You got children out of the ordeal, a ring, and marriage.
Mm-hmm.
And That is never okay.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
You took something away from me that possibly could have been somebody that was meant for me. And obviously he wasn't meant for her, because obviously the shit would have never took place with him having sex with her sister in the car. You know what I'm saying?
But this is also something that's important. If it was taken away from you, it never was for you.
That's what I'm saying. Mm-hmm. It was never meant for you to begin with, because it would have never went down like mm-hmm. that. But just the shit of how she's been jabbed multiple times, you know what I'm saying, by family.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and yet nobody has genuinely stated, like, yo, like, sis, I apologize. I'm sorry.
Mm-hmm.
I know the family has been coming at you for years, for every situation.
Yeah.
Because we know that you got it. Nobody's trying to put money together to make things happen. We always saying that we're going to pay you back this and the third, but yet we know we haven't. You know what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm.
And yet, when you mentioned about the damn money being behind the TV, I was like, rightfully so, that money could be payback for Terry, you know? Like, here, yeah. Terry, this is yours, you know? Right. But of course, that was going to never happen.
I'm your puppet. I'm your money. Period. That's it.
It's just sad. And yet her whole, like, I mean, to see the emotion that what she had at that moment in the kitchen,
mm-hmm.
talking to Kenny,
mm-hmm.
it was more than just what her husband did to her.
Yeah, it's trauma, passed down trauma, right? Mm-hmm. And it was just, you know, her questioning her worth, because everything around her was going to shit or exploiting her for the goodness of the of a heart that she has.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that's something that a lot of people experience, but in particular the role of Black women in the family.
Mm-hmm.
I had a it's not that I had a revelation, but there was a book that I came across,
mm-hmm.
right, on Audible, because I've been spending a lot of time reading but listening to books to pass time, mm-hmm. and it was Ilana Van Zandt. I always pronounce it wrong.
Ilana
Van Zandt book. Boom, I got it. Down in the valley. No, I'm just kidding. Where the girls get naked. If you throwing bands, then you know she gonna shake it. One, two, break them. I'm just playing. It's called The Value in the Valley. That's what it's called. The Value in the Valley. And after finishing Homecoming, which is another self-help book by Dr. Thema, right, I said to myself, I was like, yo, I want to, you know, continue to go down this path, and here are the words that help me navigate what it is that I'm experiencing. And I came across a passage that was really helpful to one of the latest articles on BrokeBlackBougie.com that you can read on the blog. And every year I do birthday reflections, for those of you who may be unfamiliar with, you know, some of the things that are on the blog. But I titled it Releasing the Weight, Reflections on My 20-something Years, and me turning 27, essentially. And Ilana said something that was really important that is relevant to this discussion about Terry. And that is, hold on as I scroll up to find it.
Scrolling.
She says that Black women are reared to be dependent on, and in some cases addicted to, what others expect from us or demand of us.
Mm.
We are indoctrinated in many ways to show and give ourselves. Our mother is sick, we go to the hospital. Our sister needs help to wash the kids, we go to wash the kids. Somebody needs money, we go to give them money. Our lover needs more support, we give them the undeniable support. Like, we show and show and show, and we pour into everyone else. And we feel depleted when we don't have enough for ourselves.
Because we're not being replenished.
because we're not being replenished. But also there's this teaching that happens in our community where it's like, you know, how do you show that you are a woman that could show up for other people, that you are loyalty, that you are someone who is a lover, that you are someone who does X, Y, and Z? It's how you give and how you show up for people, right? That's mm-hmm. how people define your worth, your value, who you are in relationships, who you are with the friendships that exist in your life. Like, all of those things, our value is bottled up into that. But when we are depleted, when we can't give no more, when we have nothing to ourselves, when we can't tap into the same people who we pour into and we pour into and we pour into, we be feeling violated. Mm-hmm. And that sums up to me what Terry is and what the experiences of all the Little Miss Terrys are, because at one point we were there mm-hmm. and still are in many capacities facing where we're feeling like we're overextending ourselves mm-hmm. and it is killing us. Mm-hmm. It kills us in different ways.
Yeah, it does. And yet too, you know, the way of how you operate and mm-hmm. yeah, you maneuver around those areas where people have been constantly coming at you, like your whole demeanor as an individual, you may have been a bright light and mm-hmm. now all of a sudden, like, you just don't want to be fucked with by nobody, mm-hmm. including your loved ones. Mm-hmm. So even in the midst of your giving, you probably coming out with an attitude like, here, you ain't gonna pay me the shit back any motherfucking way, mm-hmm. you know, or like, mm-hmm. fuck y'all, you know what I'm saying? Well, at that moment she did say fuck y'all, you know, but yet, you know, then people are like, well, why are you so hostile? It's not me being hostile. This has been pent up for years at end. Mm-hmm. You know what I'm saying? Even though it's a movie, but yeah, we could probably kind of just take a wild guess. It's been going on for quite some time now. Mm-hmm. Quite a bit. And after a while, you know, now this is how I'm showing up.
Right. And it's frustrating.
He has every right to show up that way. Because it's like, y'all still don't get the shit. Y'all still don't get it.
They don't get how harmful they were in the roles that they play in her depletion mm-hmm. and also how people feel used mm-hmm. and also how people, it's like that strong friend analogy too. You being strong for everybody else, you're the savior for everybody else, but who the fuck is really there for you?
And then when you're at that moment of breaking.
Yep.
And people say, well, you know, you're going to bounce back. Nah, let
me. I don't want to hear that shit.
Let me not. I don't want to hear that. Right. Like you said, I don't want to
break,
that.
Pop, snap, crackle, and pop. Okay, is that don't snap, crackle, and pop? Yes. Is a goldfish? No,
nah, that's a
Rice Krispie treat. It's like a motherfucking Rice Krispie treat breaking into pieces. Yeah,
but yet even with that, almost feeling like you're not able to break, like you're unbreakable. That's a problem.
It is a problem. But when you do break, and you're crying, and you're not yourself. And you can't communicate, and you're fragile as fuck, and you cry and you get the trembles and you feel broken down to the point of no return. Mm-hmm. That's a lot on you.
Hell of a lot.
That's a lot on anybody. Mm-hmm. Because what do you do? And I think that the most hurtful thing that anybody can experience, it's coming from a dynamic where you are conditioned to give your all and all and all and all. You separate from that and people ruin your character or attempt to ruin your character mm-hmm. because you choose your sanity. Mm-hmm. We've seen that.
Yes, we have.
Or people want to throw in your face that you're not doing enough when you're overdoing your role mm-hmm. as a child, mm-hmm. as a sibling. Mm-hmm. As a family relative to another person, it sucks. And this is how we get to the point where not only is it fuck the family, but people separate.
Yes. Long-term. Indefinitely for some.
Yeah. From family shit. They ain't coming to cookouts.
Nope.
They don't want to be called.
Nope.
They don't want to visit you.
Nope.
They don't want to build a relationship with you. Once they get out of certain situations, they're not coming back.
Nope.
Right? They terminate all phone calls, relationships, all of that shit. It's clipped. And then you, this is how you get to, you know, going around certain family members and hearing them being like, well, they stingy. Well, I ain't heard from this person in how many years? Where I ain't seen this person. And, you know, I'm going to just tap in just really, really quickly and get a little personal. Because about a few months ago, I made a post about relocating. Mm-hmm. Right? And I really resonated with what the young man was posting about because he said, I'm going to pull it up.
Now, who was the young man that was talking about this?
The young man who was talking about this just made a post that went viral. Mm. And he was talking about the importance of relocating and how sometimes people forget, you know, how people forget. Oh, don't worry about it. It's gonna come. Oh, boom, hop, period. So this is what he said. Same as Steven. He said, relocating is hard. If you have a family member or a friend who moved out of town, when that person comes back to visit their hometown, show them a little grace when trying to connect with them. Visiting homes means they're visiting a place where they likely know a lot of people, especially between their families and friends. Mm-hmm. It's hard for one person to go to visit so many different people during a holiday or a weekend getaway. Find out their schedule and meet them at a spot they've already planned to go to if you really want to see them. Mm-hmm. Honestly, it can be a bit stressful for a person to spend an entire visit ripping and running all over the place trying to see their folks. Believe it or not, it keeps some people from hardly ever returning home, to be honest. Don't make coming home hard. For what it's worth, much love. And P.S. try to go visit them in their new city sometimes. No excuses.
I like that.
So when I reshared it, I said relocating can create more strain on relationships. You start to see what community really looks like. And the reason why I shared that, it was because from my own personal experience, when I did move to Albany, New York, mm-hmm. it was very hard. Mm-hmm. You know, I saw people traveling, going to different places, tapping into the people they really wanted to see. And I thought that the people that I was closest to was going to come and visit me. Mm-hmm. Friend, you in a trip? Oh, all right. You know, I ain't gonna be able to come out anytime soon. But damn, girl, yeah, I'm checking in on you 24/7. You gonna check in on me? Mm-hmm. I remember constantly traveling, seeing other people and wanting to be in their space. But when I had my own space, it was no... There were no visits. Mm-hmm. You got people who was passing through Albany and didn't really come to see me. Mm-hmm. And it hurt my spirit because... When I upped and left Albany, I got hit with so many, yo, let me check in with you. Like, how you doing? Like, oh, let me come through. And I was like, damn, like, it would have been nice for you to see me and share space with me and when I actually was there versus when I'm gone now.
Make it make sense.
It doesn't make sense, right? But it makes you think about, you know, when you do go away and you do go on your own, you start to think about who your people. Mm-hmm. Who your people. Mm-hmm. Who coming in? Who's stopping in to see you? Who's sending you shit to make sure that you good?
Right.
You know what I'm saying? Even if it is just words of inspiration or a little card or a little candle, because you know I like my little, you know, my little smell goods. But who doing stuff like that?
Right.
It's hard as hell. And, you know, you come back. For instance, my return back to Rochester as I prepare for my move.
Everybody in my one.
Everybody. Oh, Cookie here. I ain't seen Cookie in. I don't know how long. When she gonna come and see me? What the? What the?
Anybody fuck? Come to see you, Otis?
Period. Because what the fuck? Again, I ain't see her in so long, and neither have I. and Cookie, no, for real. And Cookie don't want to come.
You taking me out with this shit, yo?
I'm serious. You ain't see me so long, neither have I. Because why? And yes, it's important to mend relationships and stuff like that. But you think about that when you were at a time where you really needed individuals.
When you really needed community.
When you needed community, when you needed family. And there was nobody fucking around in sight. How miraculously people choose to pick and check in.
True.
Now, I'm going to say this because I know I'm ranting and I'm going to pass it to you. But when I was meeting with my mentor, she told me, she said, you know, I saw your post the other day and I thought about giving you space before, you know, wanting to check in and say, hey, I wanted to see you. But I recognized how important that post was because there was a friendship that I had that I feel became strained because when that person moved away, you know, they would show up, they will always come to check in on me. But when that person moved away, I didn't come to check in on them and see you. So thank God I got to see you. I said, yeah, oh, because I motherfucking think. Mm-hmm. Oh, I be thinking. Mm-hmm. I think about the people that I see, the people that I didn't see, how I showed up for folks and how I felt kind of like, damn, like, why mm-hmm. is it that nobody came, you know, nobody checked in on me. Mm-hmm. I got hella pictures of my old apartment. Cute little pictures and shit like that. Mm-hmm. Not near one person probably saw the inside of that space when it was furnished. Besides, you know, a few folks.
Me included.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah. But that's about it.
Ironically, you know, us having that conversation a while back when you were in Albany, mm-hmm. and it was like, wow, like nobody bothered to go, like, you got your own space, nice, and it, like when it was furnished before you moved and everything, mm-hmm. nice, set your own mood, whatever have you. I'm like, yo, people can really be up here, like, really just chilling, like friends vibing, this at a 30, and yet none of that really took place.
It was weird because, you know, when people move, it's the expectation, like. Like, for instance, you move to a lit city, everybody want to come down. You move to a place like Atlanta, oh, I'm coming to see you because, you know, I want to be in your space. What is there to, you know, do? Let's hang out. You know, you move to a place like New York City. Oh, yeah. Can't wait to come down. Oh, it's going to be lit. Da, 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 da. Yeah, girl. Oh, you in the town. Da, da. All right.
I enjoyed myself in Albany.
You move to a place like Albany, crickets. But it shouldn't be, though, because regardless of which...
Make it.
I'm a mood. I ain't worried about that. Period. I'm a mood.
Period.
Whether I'm in the city, whether I'm in your city, the next city, Atlantic City, I'm a mood, okay? So it's a good vibe to be
living
around.
Living yeah. just enough.
Toya, all right.
For the city.
All right. Yes, living enough just for the city. Living in the PJs. Okay, no.
You went to the PJs.
Yeah.
I take a New Jack City.
But the PJs was in the city.
I know.
And that's what matters.
I know. That's what matters.
An old man bungalow. In the middle of the end of a dead in one way
street.
Yeah. Living in the PJs. That woman was thinking from her gut. She was thinking from her gut.
Why do we do this?
No. But moral to the story is, yes, you know, and I found it hard with even people that I thought I had close relationships with. It was like, oh, I heard that you know, came down, you didn't reach out, or like, you know, different things like that. Like, you think about that, even for family, knowing that like family passed through Albany, but no, you didn't get one text or call that folks was checking in on you, but... All of a sudden, you hear that I'm back in Rochester,
well,
and it's like
I don't want to share space with y'all. I really don't.
It's uncomfortable. It makes you think about like, man, fuck family, because where was your antennas at? Where was you shooting with us in the gym? You wasn't with me shooting in the gym.
And then they have the nerve to have some type of animosity towards you, and it's like, my nigga, really?
I don't give a fuck. Just like Smokey say, I don't give a fuck. I don't give a fuck.
Because I don't want to be around y'all. I don't.
No. Back in the day, it was, oh, let me constantly, you know, put myself on a limb, get out there to check in on loved ones and yada, yada, yada.
But then
that's
you overextending.
Once again, overextending.
It's a fucking tug of war situation.
Yeah.
You the one that's pulling most of the fuck.
We stay. Girl. Okay.
Ah, wow.
Girl.
Wow. But like, that's you literally playing fucking tug of war. I'm putting all the fucking rope on my side, nigga, and you ain't bothering to tug nothing.
No. I used to whoop ass at tug of war. I just want to say that. And whether I was tugging in high school or tugging during a field day in grade school with all the little yellow flaps and stuff when you played tug of war. I used to tug so much that I would have that red mark in the middle of my
rope
hand.
Rope burn.
Rope burn. Yeah, I would be getting burned from that rope, but I'd be winning though. And that's, I had a lot of anger. I would be pulling bitches left and right in tug of war. And see, and that's the thing about life, okay? You don't want to tug.
I don't.
Okay? I don't want to, we're supposed to be family and I'm tugging with you.
If I'm going, if I'm coming to see you, you gonna come to see me.
For real. And I don't want no motherfucking excuse when you was just out in DR the other day.
What is that?
Girl, you was just turning up in DR the other day. You ain't got time for little old me.
And it's like, yo, we supposed to be fam, right?
We supposed to be fam.
But crickets.
It is crickets. It's weird. It's like, that's not how, that's not how things were meant to be or how we were meant to show up. And when we think about any relationship dynamic that we have, anything is a give or take, right?
Right.
But when you are a person that is giving more.
Yes.
And you are not receiving yes. what you need.
Yes.
It creates tension.
Yes.
It creates you feeling like you're not valuable. It creates feeling of resentment. Mm-hmm. And people eventually shut down. And I think when I think about Little Miss Terry's, you know, we make the little joke about Little Miss this, Little Miss that, but Little Miss Terry's that, in many ways, all of us are frustrated and people don't recognize, like, yo, this is a cycle that we've seen in families for a very long time. And people be like, oh, you could be broke. You could be the one to break the cycle. That's once again me overextending myself, because some curses are meant to be broken by you doing individual work for yourself and your future family.
Facts.
By not repeating the same cycles.
And that means for you and your family.
Individually.
Individual family.
Because some people not doing the work together collectively as a family, which is why certain trauma can't be worked through.
Because it's still revolving.
Yes.
I don't understand why is it still revolving. Mm-hmm. Like, where is the dedication to take the initiative to really start to heal and to really break down those traumas?
People don't have access to mental health support or recognize that they need it. Mm-hmm. Some people don't want to talk about it. Some people think that, I mean, I don't need that shit. I got it. You don't. And that's why the world around you is falling, because you don't got it. Mm-hmm. You don't. You're sitting here and you're saying you got it.
And you don't.
And you don't got it. Mm-hmm. So I'm going to need you to stop saying you got it and go get it. Okay? Because that's the difference. People don't want to be held accountable. Accountability is just non-existent. And that's why it's a revolving door of this type of trauma. Mm-hmm. And so sometimes the best thing a person can do when they recognize their role as Miss Terry is to do what they need to do for themselves and get the fuck out. Shout out to, not WDKX, shout out to DMX.
Rest in peace, man.
Rest in peace to DMX. Rest in power to DMX. Yes. And get the fuck out. Because sometimes that's all you need to do. And get the fuck out. And if it don't come from the foundation where you came from, it gotta come from the foundation you make.
Just that simple. And that will take a degree of separation.
Absolutely.
And that's on that. Ain't no more. Nah. Mm-mm. And you know, no is a complete sentence, my nigga.
Well, we done said that so many times already. Child, listen. No is a complete sentence, and I think people don't feel comfortable saying no because
nope,
the expectation is nope. That just like the movie,
nope,
like the expectation is that if they say no, that someone is going to hate them or be harmful to them or treat them differently because they recognize their capacity. You cannot help everyone if you can't help yourself. You cannot do what you need to do if you're always showing up for other people in a way where it's depriving you. Mm-hmm. And you're not elevating. Mm-hmm. And that shit affects your mental health. It affects the people around you. It affects the individuals that you want to be with. It affects all of these different things. It just affects. It just has negative effects. The implications are outrageous. And if we want to dig a little bit deeper, although we are not mental health professionals.
No, we're not.
But if we really dig it a little bit deeper, I believe that Terry, as the older sister, experienced parentification. Because she been holding down the family for so long, but as the older sister, it's like, you coming from that family dynamic, I know niggas was pulling on you as another parent. Because in her role, she showed up as another parent. And as two sisters who showed up in many ways in the role of parents, mm-hmm. it makes sense that that is something that Terry might have experienced.
Yeah, it makes sense.
Because they come to her for every single thing.
And it's like, what are we going to actually like, nah, hold your damn breath on this shit. Have you thought of another way of getting shit done without me?
You know, they say that Big Mama was the glue of the family. But the truth is, Terry was the glue of the family.
Break that down a little bit more.
So Big Mama was able to disrupt chaos.
Correct.
She was able to create peace. Mm-hmm. She was able to get her kids in house in order. Mm-hmm. But the house wasn't always completely in order. Mm-hmm. And the interesting thing about it is Big Mama had the capacity to emotionally, you know, keep the glue together. But financially, the glue was kept together by Terry. And so she and Big Mama were both the glue. It really was, Terry's role cannot be erased because financially we need money.
True.
To live and to sustain ourselves. True. And I find it interesting that they were saving all of this money all of this time, but exploited Terry because the assumption was that, oh, you got it. Oh, you educated. Oh, your hair is always on point. Your nails is always on point. You dressing nice. You got the nice job. You got it together. Mm-hmm. And sometimes people see us in a light where,
ooh, Lord, please, perception is everything,
where they don't know our story.
Nope.
But they see that, oh, you know, you got a nice car. Oh, you don't got no kids. Oh, you don't got this going on. Oh, you college educated. Oh, you got a graduate degree. Oh, you about to go back to school.
Just old.
Right. That's it. They just keep shooting shit at you. And they think because these accolades or these things that they have assigned to you makes it seem like you are further along than you are. Mm-hmm. And I know plenty of people sitting right now, JDs, PhDs, mm-hmm. MDs, bachelor degrees, mm-hmm. different type of master programs, mm-hmm. where they got it, they got something, mm-hmm. but they can't hold the weight of generations in their family because financially they're not there yet.
And it makes you think when you just, like, something just kind of, like, a light bulb just went off. Mm-hmm. When you said whole generations, it's not like it's one generation. It's generations. Mm-hmm. Where I've heard this said once, it's always us, meaning the Black community, where somebody is more off, I mean, excuse me, well off, they end up reaching back. Meaning back, basically, back to other generations to help and secure and sustain. And you see our counterparts is something totally different where it's being brought down to them.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. It was a discussion that was held on, at the time, I Am Athlete with the original cast. Mm-hmm. And they were talking about wealth. And the first time, you know, they got a big bag. And the expectation was that, you know, the money is coming from down up. And how in other communities, the bad comes from up, down.
Right.
And that reason being, if we're looking historically at money in the family dynamic, has a lot to deal with the disruption of generational wealth building in the Black community.
Correct.
And so when we're talking about that, we have to date back all the way back to chattel slavery.
Facts.
All the way to Jim Crow era, civil rights era, all the way to post-civil rights era, mass incarceration, the establishment of mass incarceration in our communities, present-day challenges with racism, police brutality, anti-blackness as a system.
Yes.
And white supremacy. And how those tentacles, all of the tentacles of white supremacy, as I like to call it, I like to think of it as like an octopus.
It is.
Right? And how all of those tentacles have affected the way we show up in this world today and in our wealth. Mm-hmm. Now, that is not to say there hasn't been breakthroughs, but those breakthroughs haven't been big enough to close the racial wealth chasm, because that in itself is systemic. And so when we talk about black wealth and black wealth building, it's usually somebody who makes it out, has a little bit more stability, and has to bring that money back up. And even as that money is bought up, it is still not enough to financially support.
Correct.
The family. And so people get exploited. They don't have enough for themselves, and you know, then they turn around and it's just like, what are they supposed to do?
Right.
Case in point, our experience. When you first started working and you started saving over $10,000 and you started being watched for like, damn, where does this money come from? How are you able to take care of this without stress, this, that, and a third? And it almost was like, oh, you're another parent. Broom, the role got assumed to you. Like, you had to assimilate into this role, you know, because assumptions were being made. I didn't really articulate that correctly, but y'all get it. Don't be trying to be out here correcting me, because I ain't got time for that shit. But you had you didn't have to, but the role was forced upon you.
Right.
Because it appeared as if you had more stability.
Right.
Right? And I think it also, if we're really being honest, it created some type of jealousy dynamic.
Yes, it did.
Between our father and you. And that should never happen with
parents.
Parents, period.
Looking at your child. You will want your child to be
better off. I want you to do better than me. I want you to be able to do this. As a matter of fact, instead of pulling out of you, I want to pour into you. Do what you can. And do what's within your means. But don't give me so much where you have nothing for yourself. Mm-hmm. And that restart button has happened over and over and over and over again. Mm-hmm. For me, same scenario, but it happened when I first got my big paying job. Mm-hmm. And I was like, wow, I'm making money now. Mm-hmm. And somehow the conversation of my salary got revealed. And the assumption was like, damn, you making that much money. And at the end of the year, I had no money to my name, because I was constantly giving and giving and giving, and was trying to figure out how I was supposed to sustain myself on my own.
Right.
You know? But that's real world dynamics. That's what happens to a lot of first generation black college graduates when they get out here and they're trying to figure out things on their own and they're trying to build for themselves. Mm-hmm. Sometimes they don't have the capacity to build in a way that creates the stability that they need, because they're constantly giving without having a cushion to stand on.
Right. And you just think about, too, the individual that has somewhat, you know, stability, and yet with them, you know, going back and making sure everybody else is straight, they got to even work 10 times harder.
Mm-hmm.
Because not everybody has that starting point where they can take off at the gate, starting up a business or whatever have, because, like you said, systemically, there's a lot that's been held against us.
Mm-hmm. So it's like, if I get this job, I gotta hold it down, because ain't nobody gonna be able to give my mama an extra $500 a month. If I get this job, I gotta hold it down, because I ain't gonna be able to feed and take care of myself. If I get this job, I gotta hold it down, because X, Y, and Z. The cycle is something that continues. It almost feels like a marathon that never ends, which is why a lot of us, when we get to that point where we get to that bag, we be workaholics.
Yeah. It's nonstop.
It's nonstop. We don't even understand the concept of rest, and understanding now that rest is liberation. We don't really understand the concept of building, of building wealth in resting, because we want to work through so much that we ain't never got to taste scarcity again.
And it's really us operating out of fear.
Yeah, absolutely.
Because we already experienced what it's like to be on the opposite side.
Absolutely.
Of being, you know, wondering where your next meal is going to come from.
Yep.
Wondering whether or not lights will be cut off this week, yep, or next week.
Mm-hmm.
And yet now, like you said, when once we get to that point where we get that first bag, that first big initial bag, we on go mode. There's no stop.
Mm-hmm.
And that's not the best help for us anyway. You know what I'm saying?
Girl, it's just, that's not living.
No, it's not.
It's not living, but it's also the conditioning that we fall into when we get into the role of being a Miss Terry. We know Terry's. We know Terry's by different names. We were Terry's. But I think the best thing that anybody can do in this situation, as the author said in that article, is set up boundaries. Because these people will milk the fuck out of you.
Oh, what? Man.
Family, friend, or foe.
Facts. And it's okay, too. You know, just to really not have the anxiety of feeling like nobody's going to like you because you're setting those boundaries.
Mm-hmm.
And if they happen to have a fucking attitude, then that goes to show you anyway where their fucking headspace was at.
Mm-hmm.
You can't even respect the fact that I'm trying to set boundaries with you, my nigga. And yet you have a problem with me telling you no?
You have a problem with me telling you that you not giving me the support that I need. You have a problem with me telling you that I don't have the financial nor mental capacity to show up for you like this anymore because it's harming me. So it's fuck you, right?
That's what you're... What? Nigga, you already just said it. You already told me how you feel about me with this certain boundary. You saying fuck you then.
Fuck you. Fuck you. Remember that song?
Yes.
I think it went a little something like that.
Yeah, it did.
But, sometimes we just need to cut the rope.
Let them niggas fall.
And I hate to say that way, but damn it, cut the motherfucking rope. Okay? The shit, the rope that I talked about earlier with the rope burn, I cut the motherfucking rope.
You know
I'm
how,
tired.
You know how when they finally cross a certain
I
threshold?
I feel like going home. Yeah, I do. Take me home. Cut the motherfucking rope. This is not nerds, bitch. I gotta go.
Not the nerds rope.
The nerds rope. I gotta go. Shit, you gonna chew me and you out of house. Not chew me and you out of a house.
Bruh.
You gonna chew me and you out of a house. Let me the fuck go.
Like, fuck that.
Baby, I can't hold on no more.
I can't go for that.
No. No. Cut the rope. Lie for real. No, for real. That's how I go?
Do almost anything that you want me to do. Yeah, well, I can't go for that. No.
Cut the rope. You gotta cut it off. I think we done wrapped up this segment. Grand opening. Grand closing. Yo, what the fuck is wrong with me? Live for real.
I fucking love it.
And on that note, I don't think we need a wait a minute segment today.
No.
We just gonna let it ride. And not like the movie Ride.
No.
We just gonna let it ride.
Ride.
Yeah.
Yes.
We just gonna let it ride. Case in point. I love to say a motherfucking case in point. Case in point is, if you find yourself in a situation where you dealing with neglect, disrespect, people who playing with you simply because you family, we close, you think that, you know, you could show up any little way when it comes to money and me being a provider and all of these different things, you got to take a step back. You got to set up firm boundaries. You know, The Walking Dead, when they got to the jail in the earlier season and all the barbed wire and shit like that.
Mm-hmm.
If your wall gotta have a barbed wire fire pit on the outside, flames spinning around the whole motherfucking circumference of that damn wall, then so be it. If it gotta have water, that these motherfuckers need a boat to get to you, then so be it. Because y'all gonna stop treating people like this.
I'm gonna hold my composure right now. Nick said he a boat.
And that's that.
You guys see my face?
I can't end this episode or something. And that's that. Nobody's cutting off my leg. Okay, but no, for real though. And where the fuck all of that money went? You know what I think? I think about Love and Basketball. When the money start floating, I think about Whenever You Go, I'll Come. You're like, that's and it's two separate movies. But I feel like I be thinking that's how they be moving. And then they rewind it back to, you know, after Big Mama passed and they up here in the motherfucking garden playing shit. You need to play the old new family.
I'm about playing, that y'all, I'm gonna be playing season that bitch. Well, I'm gonna get some money next time. I'm gonna do better.
I hope you play the new family while you at it. Shit. Yo, no, but for real though, set them boundaries.